Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, this is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
I'm getting an email literally by the dozens here. Let me read a couple of them. Hello, I live in Vancouver, Washington. I came into listening a little late today. What book is this that you are talking about? It sounds amazing. This guy seems like he's full of the stuff we all need to know. Thanks, Mark. That's from Mark Yarger in Vancouver, Washington. Mark, we are talking about The Art of Modern Gunfighting, The Pistol, Volume 1. Scott Reitz with Brett McQueen, and it is amazing. Every single word of it is. It's a dynamite read. You need to check it out. And we'll give the website out in just a little bit. Actually, we'll give the website out right now. You go to internationaltactical.com. internationaltactical.com, and we'll be right back with Scott and Brett in just a couple minutes, so hang in there. I've got a couple other emails here I want to go through. This one's good. Sean, you're going to like this. Are you there, Sean?
I'm here.
You're going to like this one. This gentleman sent us an email last week, and I think I might have read it, but this one's good. Listen to this email here. It says, awesome show already. It's been an awesome fight, ladies and gentlemen. He opens with body shots right to the ribs of the lefties. He could see the opponent was getting a little fuzzy in the head and tactfully threw an uppercut right in the facts. If there is one thing this opponent has been vulnerable to again and again, it's been getting punched in the facts. F-A-C-T-S. Newsmakers instead of news reporter. Perfect point. One person is sick enough to misquote facts, and those misquoted facts become stories that are quoted and spread. We see manipulations like this in movies all the time, but so many people seem to be unaware that it's really happening. The first few times I heard your show, I had only heard portions, and I did not get what your show was about. I thought it was a gun show and wondered why you were always on a crusade. When I finally caught a whole show, that's when I got it. It's about passion. Passion about freedom, and that is a crusade. I have sent communications to my representatives as recently as this last weekend. I've been sitting on my dusty duff for a long time. Our governor, Utah, Herbert, Republican, says we don't need constitutional carry. There's no need for it. I sent an email. I wouldn't be doing these things if I hadn't kept listening to your show and got it. I'm sorry I wasn't there sooner. Great guest tonight, too. Please keep up the good work. That's from Mike Palmer. It's a great email. Very well written, and I like it. Got a couple more in here about who's the guest tonight. I came in a little bit late. What's the book? The book is The Art of Modern Gunfighting, and if you would like to talk to the author, Scott Reitz, and his co-author, his wife, Brett McQueen, feel free to call us at 877-956-9566. This is an opportunity for you to talk to a member of the most elite squad, I think, in the country, the LAPD SWAT. And he was there when the unit was formed, spent 30 years there, worked under Chief Daryl Gates. We all know who Chief Daryl Gates is. And Mark, the writer from Vancouver, is correct. He is full of the stuff we all need to know. So with that, having said that, 877-956-9566. Let's bring Scott back. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Scott, you mentioned in here, and it's all good. I don't even know where to go. I've got so many notes written in the book. But you talk about an overview of gunfights. There being three different types of gunfights. Gunfights that are expected, gunfights that are unexpected, and gunfights that fall in between. And that sounds really simple. But if it's okay, may I quote some of the portion of gunfights that are unexpected?
Oh, absolutely, please.
Okay, it says toward the end, it says, in 2005, there were 40 separate instances of LAPD officers being ambushed, either during the course of normal patrol or on response to set up calls. In one famous case called the Toonerville shooting, the suspects involved were from the Toonerville gang in Northeast Division, and a case on which I testified, two officers were engaged in a high-speed vehicle pursuit. Toward the end of the chase, gang members had previously placed a washing machine in the narrow street to slow down the police vehicle. An additional gang member standing on a corner as the police vehicle slowed down threw a bicycle underneath the LAPD black and white. The driving officer simply punched the accelerator and ran over the bicycle, which then hung up underneath the undercarriage. As they negotiated a right-hand turn after the vehicle they were pursuing, they now received gunfire from their rear and right side. The vehicle they had been pursuing had suddenly and intentionally slowed to a crawl, and the gang members within the vehicle attempted to engage them as well. All of this had been planned by the gang members well in advance, yet from the officer's perspective, a vehicle pursuit had instantly become an all-out gunfight, a pre-planned ambush. First of all, isn't what they did illegal, Scott?
Well, Well, yes, on a number of different levels, I would say that it's illegal, yes.
I'm wondering if another law, maybe we should have another law that it's illegal for gang members to throw washing machines in the streets in front of lit up police cruisers. Maybe that would have helped.
Well, I think I can start working on formulating that tomorrow.
Yeah, somebody's got to write that legislation because apparently they just didn't get it. But what's important about this, all pun aside, is that this gunfight, from the officer's perspective, was instantaneous. They had no clue this was going to happen until it was upon them, and that's usually what happens to a civilian, right?
Very much so, yes. So,
which leads us to preparation, avoidance, and awareness techniques. It always seems to go back to that. So, based on that, tell us a little bit about what the average law-abiding citizen doesn't understand about some of these criminals that you've had contact with over the years.
Well, first, you know, I think most people are very, very decent. I still absolutely believe that. Most people are extremely decent. But there are a very small segment, very small minority, who, whether they're disenfranchised, whether they've been abused, psychological, emotional problems, their societal problems, who have basically gone beyond the pale. And it's very hard, and it was very hard for me, to watch somebody that had committed a horrific crime, and I saw this many, many times in my career on the streets. And we get this guy, we hook him up, take him down to the station, you start talking to him, and absolutely no remorse over what he's done. There may be dead bodies, mutilated bodies, I mean, horrific crimes. And what always struck me, and I mentioned it at one point with one of the suspects we had, was, why did you do that? And he'd Mirandized him and so forth. And his basic bottom line to me was, hey, the guy had it coming to him, wasn't going to pass on him. If he can't handle it, I'm going to take him. I'll work him right then and there. And what he's saying is that I don't really care about you. You're not a human being to me. And basically, if you can't defend yourself, if you can't stop me from doing something to you simply because I want to do it, and they work in a very extemporaneous fashion, meaning they simply do what they do when they do just because they want to do it, when they do it, if you can't stop them, they're definitely going to steamroll over you. And a lot of people don't understand that because we don't look at other human beings as victims on a constant basis, and they do. It's hard for an honest, law-abiding citizen to understand how somebody can look at you, have no compassion, and feel that, you know what, I'm going to work you just because you can't help yourself.
Folks, how many times have you read some of the sick stories in the news that you see every single day? I don't care what city you're listening to Armed American Radio in, from the West Palm Beaches of Florida to the crab fishing vessels of Alaska and every part in between, literally, by the way, thank you very much. You see this in every paper, in every city across the country. Scott, it's horrifying. But we see these things and we don't really think about it. Or I guess I do. I do. I definitely do. I wrote a book about it. Mm-hmm. But very few people get it. And I don't think they think about, I said depravity. I'm not really sure how to describe it. It's a psychosis. It's psychotic. How someone cannot, you look at these crimes and you see how someone kills their children.
Well, I work Hillside Stranglers, policeman in Spew, in Van Nuys, but I work the Richard Ramirez Night Stalker case. And what Richard Ramirez did to his victims was unbelievable, unmentionable on the radio. We would sit, and he was so random, and his M.O. was so disparate that we couldn't really get a handle on it. So what we do is I'd come in your backyard, fully armed, shotgun, vest, two guns, ready to go, radio, and I'd sit in the back, or you would know I was there, and I was in there all night long from the time the sun went down until it came up, because those were the hours that he hit, and we'd just wait, and we were shotgunned out all over the city trying to catch this guy. We had no idea how to really get a handle on it, and we did that night after night after night. And he was ultimately caught. But the things that he did to people were horrific. And the only person that really survived was a woman that actually fought back. And all she fought back with was a golf club. Everybody else, you know, and some of the things he did, he didn't give the victims much of a chance. But she fought back with a golf club that she had in the house, I believe it was, and he took off. But
all right,
the other victims suffered terrible consequences, and it's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of times I hear this, and even from police, and I don't necessarily agree with it. Under some circumstances, yes, but some people say, well, just surrender and go along with them and so forth. That's completely dictated by the situation at that time, by the facts and circumstances at that time. But to simply acquiesce to these people, well, you may not make it.
Okay. When we come back from the next break, I want to talk about what this means, what you just said means to the average Joe Blow, to my mom, walking back to her car in an area that she feels safe in. What a criminal is thinking or not thinking that puts her at risk versus someone who might be walking alongside her, and how a criminal chooses his victim, and how you can prepare to avoid by being aware. This is the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be right back with Scott Reitz, and we're going to bring Brett McQueen in too. We haven't forgot you, Brett. We'll be right back.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? Or are you stuck in a tax payment plan that is getting you nowhere? The IRS is now taking very aggressive actions, such as bank levies and wage garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. As a hardworking American, you do have rights. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-605-3241. That's 1-800-605-3241.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com.
If you're looking for a small pocket gun that delivers the power of the .32 ACP with less recoil, you've found it in the North American Arms 25 NAA Guardian. Like its larger cousin, the .32 NAA Guardian, the 25 NAA outperforms many larger guns. At 1,200 feet per second, the 25 NAA delivers 20% more energy than larger .32 ACP cartridges, making it the perfect choice when a smaller pocket pistol is required for your carry needs. For more information on the 25 NAA Guardian, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
Extreme Shock has done it again with the 223 AFR designed specifically for the urban environment. Imagine a 30-grain rifle round moving at 3,100 feet per second, whose frangible characteristics virtually eliminate ricochet and over-penetration within a limited space, making the Extreme Shock 223 AFR one of the safest rifle cartridges ever manufactured for home defense. For more information and to purchase the Extreme Shock 223 AFR, visit ExtremeShockUSA.net. That's ExtremeShockUSA.net.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
This hour of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, the GOA, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Join the Gun Owners of America, folks, at gunowners.org. I did. Welcome back.
Folks, I need an extra couple hours today. I am talking with Scott Reitz, and we will be bringing in his wife, and co-author Brett McQueen in just a moment. I want to start off with a quote here, because before we went to a break, we were listening to Scott tell us about a little bit about how criminals don't really care about you. Let's just put it that way. And he says here on page 47 of The Art of Modern Gunfighting, The Pistol, Volume 1, they operate extemporaneously. In other words, they simply do what they do simply because they do it. There is little thought to what they are about to do or are in fact doing. While this might be a hard concept for the good guys to wrap their heads around, you need to understand it. They have already broken so many rules that breaking a few more means little or nothing to them. Where you and I might be in abject fear of even the mere thought of a prison term, or to even be charged with a crime, they view it as a perfectly natural course of events. 5 years incarceration to them is referred to as nickel time, and 10 years as dime time, and so on. They do not view their life as a whole, but rather a day-to-day existence. They give no thought whatsoever to the destruction of lives and relationships that their criminal actions have caused. There is no moral outrage, no guilt, and no introspective analysis of their actions. In short, they are not you, and they are not me. And I jump over to page 49. Honed skills and an understanding of the law will always be your best weapon against hardened criminals. Awareness of your surroundings and unfolding situations will place you well ahead of the power curve in an unpleasant situation. As simple as these concepts sound, they can be very effective. Once again, the basics will carry the day. Scott Reitz, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Very, very powerful words. And when I read those, I can go backwards with this book to talk about some things about preparation, avoidance, and awareness, because part of what I read is under a topic entitled Know Your Opponent. How in the world do you know someone who has no morals? How can you pick up any knowledge? How can the average Joe Blow figure this out?
Well, in each of our classes, I debrief a number of different shootings. I debrief a number of different situations, and these are actual situations that I'm personally aware of, that I've worked on, testified on, murder cases, officer-involved shootings. I still do that. I still testify throughout the country as a use of deadly force tactics and training expert, both in federal and superior court. So we've got a tremendous amount of background, and it's not just peripheral. It's not a snippet. I'm talking hundreds of hours of investigation into a single case, so I know the case intimately. And what I'm able to do, and Brett knows this as well, and she does in her classes when she's instructing, is we relay to the student, this is what transpired, and this is why the suspect ultimately said, or basically what was we termed copped out to, having done what he did. And a classic example, and so we do that, and our students pick up on it. And after a while, I mean, we have students from every walk of life, from literally world-famous neurosurgeons, attorneys, fighter pilots, you name it. I mean, the whole gamut, and housewives, and so many of them just shake their heads, and they go, I can't believe that there are people out there that do this, or that would say that, or would act in this manner. But by simply preparing, by just letting them understand that there are people out there that are like this, and hopefully you won't come across it, but if you do, it may be your ability to counter it, your ability to recognize the threat may make the difference between you walking away or not walking away from the incident. And that's what's absolutely critical. And because we're able to give these real-world experiences and actual cases, it solidifies it in our students' mind that, boy, you know what? I do have to listen. I need to pay attention. And you don't have to walk. You don't have to low crawl in the movie theater to get popcorn. You know, I'm not talking about being having some kind of psychosis. I'm talking about just being aware of what's going on, aware that these things do in fact transpire, and just avoiding it.
We preach it every single week, and I'm glad you said what you just said. Folks, it's unscripted. This is live radio. You've heard me. You've heard many of our guests over the last year and a half, almost 2 years, believe it or not, say the exact same thing. Drill that into your head. Drill that into your head. Brett McQueen, welcome to the show. Thanks for being so patient. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks very much. I'm enjoying this.
Oh, I am too. It's fascinating. Brett, how do you teach this stuff? How do you as an individual teach somebody, as a woman, to be aware of something like this?
Well, you know, essentially I tell women to, you know, as we just said, to be aware of their surroundings, to not go out alone, especially at night. If they're going somewhere to park in a safe place, preferably under a light if they're going to be coming out at night. You know, just real simple, basic things. To pay attention to people, to pay attention to whether or not someone is following them, if they have any kind of issue, any kind of problem, and if they notice that someone is following them or someone is stalking them in any way, to get help right away. If you know, essentially to follow their instincts. Women, you know, oftentimes we tend to rationalize things and say, oh, I must be imagining it, he's probably not following me, or, you know, this guy is probably not going to cause any problem. And then we just, you know, kind of go on, oblivious to our surroundings. And it's really important to trust your instincts. If you feel like something's not right, it probably is not. And, you know, go to a safe place, get help. Don't go outside. You know, if you're in a store, ask the security guard to walk you to your car. And just ask for assistance when you need it.
Once again, the basics will carry the day, folks, written in here. Again, you're hearing things. To those of you who listen to the show on a regular basis, you've heard this before. And it's great to hear it, Brett, because everything that you're saying is the basics carrying the day. And you've got people out there with a mindset, I think, people's biggest enemy is their own head. This can't happen to me. This happens to other people. This isn't going to happen to me. Those two guys leaning against the car when I'm walking out of Walmart with my hands full, they're not going to bother me. They're just leaning against the car.
That's right.
Okay? Well, that's thinking like a victim, because you've also heard on this show, ladies and gentlemen, how we talk about criminals being cowards. Take a listen to what Scott and Brett wrote in the book. We saw this time and again on SWAT warrants executed against gang members and dope dealers who vowed never to be taken alive. Very few ever went to guns, and some of the more vocal suspects offered the least resistance. They are cowards, and they use fear and intimidation to attain what they want. The last thing they want or expect in many cases is the opponent, who is a very real threat to their safety. This unnerves them, and they avoid such individuals like the plague. Scott, we could have a whole show just on those two or three sentences. Because
Absolutely.
I use the example on the show. It's like the club. Remember the club for your car?
Yes.
You know, you put that thing on the steering wheel, people go, oh, come on, man, anybody can get through that. Just a little hacksaw. Yeah, that's true. They can. But does somebody really want to hacksaw through a steering wheel when they can go right to the car next door and not hacksaw through the steering wheel?
Okay. Well, I mentioned that. One of the incidents I talk about, and there was a vehicle stop that we did, a Metro Iris vehicle stop, and we used advanced tactics. We get the guy out of the car, and he's wearing a shoulder holster for a Colt Government 1911 45. He's got two spare magazines in the shoulder holster, but there's no pistol in the shoulder holster portion of it, in the holster. So I get this guy, we're patting him down, hook him up. Where's the gun? And I asked him, I said, where's the gun? He goes, on the floorboard, man. So I went in, and sure enough, he's got a 1911, you know, hammer back, ready to go, round the chamber, full magazine. So we got him back later and randized him, talking to him, and he rolled over. And I said, why didn't you go for it? He goes, I took one look at you guys, and I knew you had me. If I did anything, you guys would have lit me up. I knew that. And what was kind of interesting, because what he's telling me, basically, is that if he thought he could take us, he would have. It's just he looked at us, you know, guys in Metro, you know, you work out, everybody's in shape, you know, you're sharp, you're on your toes, you're on your game, you're on your A game. The minute you hit the street, and everybody knows the difference, when you see two Metro officers get out of the car, it's not like seeing, you know, two field grade officers necessarily. Metro is, you know, very unique. They stand out to bad guys like a sore thumb. And
it's amazing because everything that you've just said here is kind of defies what you hear about just acquiesce, just go with them. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back, but I do want to point out that criminal carrying a shoulder holster in his car, that's against the law.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
With consumers still looking to save money wherever they can, getting the most out of their cars continues to be very important. Jody DeVere, president of Women's Automotive Association International, knows that using quality products in your car today can help save money in the long run.
Motor oil is called the lifeblood of your car's engine and one of the most important ways you can protect your investment. But all motor oils are not the same.
DeVere recommends asking for a high-quality oil by name because Pennzoil and Quaker State, for example, invest heavily in comprehensive product testing and are formulated to meet the demands of today's engines.
Don't leave the oil choice to the person behind the counter, because using a high-quality motor oil in the right grade can help maximize fuel economy, minimize emissions, and help save money by preventing costly engine damage.
For more information about the importance of high-quality motor oil, visit motoroilmatters.org. I'm Ron Javers.
At a parent-teacher meeting, Julie worried aloud about her preschooler. "I see Monique on the playground, and she's, well, stubborn," Julie told the teacher. "She waits for others to invite her in, then she wants everything her way, or she pouts." A thought struck Julie. Her own behavior at work was just like Monique's. Julie was slow to initiate, slow to compromise, or share. When people's projects failed to go her way, she acted like, well, like her daughter on the playground. But she could change. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. From the playground to the office to the boardroom, the same essentials identify a team player: openness, generosity, flexibility, and patience. Julie changed. Can you? It's the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, I'm country music singer and host of Three Gun Nation, Mark Wills. You know, I rank my firearms freedoms right up there with my passion for music. And I'm looking very forward to joining my good friend Mark Walters in the Armed American Radio Studios as a guest co-host coming up in February. We'll talk about guns, music, and freedom. It don't get any better than this.
Actually, it does get a little better than that, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you why. Because last night about 11 o'clock, I got an email from Mark Wills with a link to his new video, Sean, that was just filmed out in Nashville.
Okay, I want to see it.
Ah, I was one of the first 83 people to lay eyes on it before it was pulled.
Oh, man.
How cool is that? Huh?
That's just wrong.
That's great stuff. I won't say any more about it, but it's available on iTunes now. And it was pretty neat. It was pretty neat, and I have to admit that. So we're looking forward to having Mark on the show. Take a listen to this quote from the book. And this, I've got like my fingers. If you're looking at the webcast, I've got four or five different holes, or you know, fingers in these pages here. I've got pages folded over. We're not going to be able to get to all of it, unfortunately, but we're going to make a good dent in it. The Art of Modern Gunfighting, The Pistol, Volume 1 by Scott Reitz with Brett McQueen. Both of us are on the phone with us. Listen to this quote. This is the Reitz Law of Safety. The more one works with firearms, the more dangerous one becomes. That's pretty cool. And very real. And this is in the safety section of the book. Scott, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Brett, welcome back.
Thank you.
There's a bunch of pictures in here that are quite cool. I've got pictures of you in here with Ronald Reagan. pictures of you in here with Chief Gates presenting you with SWAT meritorious unit citations. And I think one of the neatest ones is, and it says here, to this date, the world's largest cocaine seizure ever. You and your partner, Scott, 20 tons of pure cocaine and $10 million in cash. Folks, it's the photos right here.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that wasn't our arrest. But that was an unusual case. It's a fascinating one. Maybe I'll write about it in the next book. But we were called in about 3 in the morning that the DEA had stumbled on this thing along with narcotics, and we went down. It was just a simple little tiny warehouse in Sylmar, and we were inside of that. We walked in there and just absolutely flabbergasted. And 20 tons of pure cocaine, uncut, is a lot of cocaine, and it was staggering. And it was kind of one of the neater photographs. I just thought it was nice to include it in the book because sometimes you get involved in some fairly big capers, and that was one of them.
And there's boxes and boxes and boxes of cash behind you. It's kind of like the movie Blow when they're filling up the rooms with the show movie with Johnny Depp. And it actually looks like that right behind you. It's really cool stuff. There's some great photographs in here of you hanging off of helicopters and everything else. Very, very cool stuff. Okay, we were talking about crime and criminals. And, Brett, we were talking about preparation, avoidance, and awareness techniques, the basics. Just the very simple stuff that we all know and that we drill home on the show week after week after week. And I saw some editorials in some newspapers around the country. In fact, one of them in California recently. Oh, these guys, all they talk about is all this paranoid stuff walking around. I mean, you know, how can you, you know, what to do when you're carrying all these packages out from the car, a bunch of paranoid wackos, and they're calling us right-wing nuts and all that stuff. You know, I surely hope that this individual doesn't run into one of the people that we're talking about on this program, because they will not be prepared, they will be a victim, and they more than likely won't make it home, because there are bad people. We say week after week after week that you cannot legislate evil. How true is that?
Well, you can't. You can't stop people from doing horrific deeds. Some of these are crimes of passion. Some of these are what the courts might refer to as diminished capacity, in other words, under the influence. Some of them are severe psychological or emotional issues, what have you. You can't legislate against that, and that's a problem. And it's a virtual impossibility.
There are some people I wish would figure that out. We opened up the first hour with some political statements because we're getting ready to see the battle for gun control begin to heat up again as the left with Obama begins to push this issue now in the wake of the Tucson tragedy. A lot of, I say reputable, I don't know how reputable any of them are anymore, sources are reporting that this is going to happen. And for some reason, they just don't understand the difference between the monster Codys of the world and Joe Bob on Elm Street, who gets up every day and goes to work and tries to feed his family. Speaking of monster Cody, were you involved in any of his cases?
No, I was not. I'm well aware of who he is, and, you know, a lot of the rest I did were, you know, Crips, Bloods, Rolling 60s, and, you know, those are the guys that we targeted. Our whole thing in Metro is to make felony observational arrests, and so you don't go after the small thing. You go after gang members, you go after guns, you go after dope sales, that's all. That's all you're doing. You're out there just to get the real, real bad guys, and constantly that's who you come across are the gang members. And Monster Cody was unique in that he wrote a book, but there were other people out there that are equally as dangerous, if not more so, than he was. And they just, you know, very, very dangerous people, extremely dangerous.
I've read his book, and it is frightening stuff because it speaks to the mindset that, I mean, these people just don't care. They just flat out don't care, for however difficult that is for us to want to believe.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
They don't care. There's no emotion involved whatsoever at all. You and I had a conversation off air earlier today, Scott, that, again, as the other ones were that we had were fascinating. We'll try to recreate this one if we can.
Sure.
And that is, let me start with this. You know, I've been to Los Angeles a number of times. I've spent 3-4 days at a time there. Never had any problems. Too much traffic for me, driving around, seeing all kinds of cool stuff, driving up through the hills, up through the canyons, up to the observatory, down to Santa Monica Pier. And then I get on an airplane and I come home. Tell me what your first week on the force was like, what you saw happen. While I'm driving around, checking out all the beautiful homes and the canyons, what are you seeing on the streets that's going on that I'm oblivious to?
Well, as I said, I mentioned even in the book, as you're reading this book, similar events are transpiring even now as you read this book. And as we sit here, and you know, in Los Angeles, there are things that are going on in the streets right now. And I remember we had a group of policemen that came out once, did some training, and one of our canine officers, a sergeant, came up, and he had his radio on. Now, these are guys from, I think it was Indiana, a group of officers from Indiana, SWAT team. And they're standing around, and there was one, literally code 3, hotshot call after another. There were ambulance shooting. Officer needs help call. Officer needs assistance. We had a pursuit, another foot pursuit. We had air units over, another shooting. And these guys are listening to it, and they're going, "You're kidding." And the sergeant at the time, who I work with in SWAT, Steve Gruber, kind of turned to him and looked at him, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "This is going on right now." He goes, "Yeah, what did you think it was, from Hollywood?" And they go, "This is unbelievable." And he said, "This is nothing. It's a slow night." So sometimes you get real hot nights, and those guys just happen to stumble on one of those hot nights where just one radio call after another is being generated, and all of them are high-priority radio calls. So all this, you have the crime and the violence and so forth that is actually going on underneath the belly of your plane as you're leaving Los Angeles or landing in there. Now, it doesn't mean Los Angeles isn't a great city. It is. You know, we live here. Our kids here. They're going to school. But as long as you're aware of areas to avoid, as long as you're aware of the situations, and this is what Brett goes over in her classes about no matter where you live, but she's got a lot of different facts that she points out in her classes. As long as you're aware of these, it keeps most people out of situations. And we get more compliments from people, more thanks from people that avoided a potentially nasty situation simply because they were made aware of it, they paid attention to what she told them or what I told them, and they avoided a situation, and then they write in and say, "You know what, had I not, you know, a year ago before the class, I would have been a victim. Somebody else was, I wasn't."
Fascinating. Brett, I want to jump in with you quickly. Something as simple, when we talk about the basics, as Scott mentioned earlier, it's not like you have to do the low crawl through the parking lot at the grocery store.
Right.
I've mentioned it on the show many times. We're not talking about walking around paranoid like some of the people who don't like guns that listen to the show think we talk about, but simply being awake, walking in with a certain posture, correct?
Absolutely. And that makes a tremendous difference. You know, I've had a number of women who've gone through the all-women's classes, and some of them are, you know, one of them was this diminutive little gal. She was probably, you know, 5 feet, 100 pounds, and she had a situation where she had come to the all-women's class a few months after, was moving out of an apartment, and had a guy essentially driving by, and he kept going round and round. Finally stopped, got out of the car, and this was a guy who looked like he was definitely up to no good. You know, she just essentially just stood her ground and said, "Get out of here," and was, you know, very firm, very strong in her language. And the guy looked at her for a moment and decided to back off, took off and left, didn't come back.
Preparation, avoidance, and awareness. That music means we have to take a break. I'm sorry. But when we come back, we'll continue that discussion and some others. I think we have a call coming in, too. This is the Armed American Radio Network.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-412-7799. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-412-7799. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-412-7799. That's 1-866-412-7799.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show, you know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Introduced in 2001, the North American Arms Guardian 380 ACP is extremely popular with law enforcement and civilian concealed carry. The Guardian 380 ACP delivers great stopping power in a small design that fits easily in a pocket, purse, or one of many holster designs. The North American Arms Guardian 380 ACP is extremely high quality, convenient, reliable, and incredibly effective. Backed by North American Arms Lifetime Warranty, the Guardian 380 offers optional 10-round magazine capacity. For more information, visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com. Whether you're enjoying a day at the range or out in the field on the hunt of a lifetime, you need the Allegiance On Duty TRP Trauma Readiness Pack. The TRP is much more than a traditional first aid kit and contains everything you need in an emergency to save a life. Airtight, sterile, and waterproof, the TRP is a must-have for every shooter's bag, backpack, ATV, boat, or home. For your TRP emergency pack, visit ExtremeShockUSA.net. That's ExtremeShockUSA.net.
Didn't think you could afford that new AR-15? Yes, you can. Check out the DTI-4 by Delton. The 16-inch M4 comes fully equipped with a collapsible stock, car handguards, A2 flash suppressor, cleaning kit, two 30-round magazines, a sling, and a beautiful hard-sided case, all under $760. Delton, priced right for any budget. DEL-TON.com. That's DEL-TON.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Gallagher, and I'm filling my prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters.
WRWR, 1350, Macon, Warner Robins, Georgia. You are filling your prescription for freedom on the Armed American Radio Network for the very first time today. We had bum information a couple weeks ago. We thought you started a couple weeks back. We welcomed you, but you weren't listening. But you are now filling your prescription for freedom on the Armed American Radio Network, and you've picked a good program to jump in with us, a very good one. Bloomington, Illinois, WRPW, 92.9 FM, Bloomington and Normal. Welcome to the Armed American Radio Network. You're filling your prescription for freedom. And that's a cool thing because we're getting closer and closer to Chicago, and there's a lot of people that don't like that. And when they don't like it, we love it. Welcome to the show. Scott Reitz, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Can you master gunfighting, sir?
No, it's impossible. Cannot master gunfighting. Physically impossible. I know a lot of people like to think they are and so forth, but there are too many variables in each gunfight that just anything goes sideways. And I've been very fortunate. I was successful in all of mine, but I'm not delusional enough to think that I could be involved, God forbid, in another one, and everything goes sideways. I make the wrong judgment, perform imperfectly, and everything, you know, the proverbial wheels come off the cart, so to speak. So
it is playing for keeps, isn't it? It's playing for keeps, as you said earlier. There are simply too many variables in real-world gunfights to master all possible scenarios. Brett, we can certainly do everything we can to avoid them. In fact, the best gunfight to be in is the one that's never had, right?
Absolutely. And there are many, many things people can do to avoid them.
We talked about something as simple as walking straight up. You were telling us about a woman with a stalker before those pesky commercials got in the way. But that's great advice. And this is something that we can't talk about enough, quite frankly, because it's not a paranoia thing. It's just simply being aware. Scott, and you write in the book that a criminal is a coward. We repeat that here time after time, week after week, month after month. But it matters, and it matters because they don't want to get shot at. They don't want to get hurt, but they don't care about you. Am I right there?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what you find? I mean, Scott, you found this over the years to be the case that you know, if they determine a threat to themselves, regardless of how that threat is determined, whether it's somebody openly carrying a firearm, whether it's somebody walking in a certain way, certain gait, certain posture, saying and doing certain things, is that all of that comes into play?
Absolutely. What criminals do is they read victims, and where you and I have careers, and your respective field is broadcasting. You made a career of it, so you studied it. what you haven't studied is human nature as a criminal from the viewpoint or from the perspective of view all the lens of a criminal. And a criminal views it as looking at people, selecting them. This is how I'm going to get to this person. This is where I'm anticipating they're going. This is when they're going to be most vulnerable. This is when I'm going to take them down. And they're thinking, they're watching, and this is how it's done. And so many of the victims, and very tragically, you know, that we came across, never saw it coming. And, you know, you look to this recent case they had about the Connecticut, where the woman and her two
daughters. Home invasion with the daughters. Yeah, horrible case. Go ahead, sorry.
It's heart-rending, and it's tragic. And, you know, I came across, I dealt with victims of violent crimes through my years, and your heart goes out to them, and when you start debriefing them and you find out, God, you know, you didn't see this coming. Well, nobody ever taught them. Maybe it's not their fault. You know, but the problem is that if nobody teaches these people, then how are they going to know? You don't know what you don't know. And it's almost like, well, is there any way that the police can get out there and tell everybody, okay, we need a mass class in Los Angeles where we're going to teach you how to avoid these things? There isn't such a class. Nobody puts what we do, but there's no way we can teach 4.5 million people at a time. That's going to be a bit of a problem. However, by going to class, by listening to shows such as yours, what at least people do, it gets them thinking. If they haven't thought about it before, it gets them thinking now. And I think that's an absolute wonderful benefit.
Well, it is. It is. You know, we get emails from people all the time. You see the negative emails. You've got people out there who quite simply just walk around with blinders on. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that's just the way they are. People don't like to see the bad in other people. People like to feel, and let's face facts, the vast majority of American citizens are good, hardworking, normal, stand-up, everyday Joe Blows. They get up and go to work every day and just want to live their lives and be left alone.
Absolutely.
That's a vast majority of us. But that small percentage who do what you said, it's very difficult for us to even think. We can't believe. This Connecticut is a great example, Scott. We talked about that case here. It was horrible. How can you not? You didn't see it coming. This was a random thing.
No, absolutely. The guy, he picked his victims at random. Richard Ramirez, he'd look at somebody, he just picked them. For whatever reason, he pinged on them, that was it. They were targeted, and he just worked them. We see that time and time again. And then you're talking to a victim in the hospital who may or may not make it, and detectives are talking to them, what happened, and we see it because we're trained professionals. Well, we see, they didn't pick up on this. They didn't pick up on this. Didn't they see this? Didn't they see that? And they may have seen the warning signs, but they disregarded them, as Brett so aptly pointed out. A lot of times people have a tendency, as decent people, we want to think the best of people. So rather than offend somebody by confronting them or telling them to leave you alone or get away or whatever, we have a tendency to be polite. And that's a weakness, as the criminals see it, that they capitalize on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I learned a long time ago in business, when I ran my own business for a number of years, that cash is king and trust nobody. And also, trust your gut. And Brett mentioned that, to trust your gut instinct. I actually wrote a column about that that appeared a couple issues back in Concealed Carry Magazine. And I learned that, being in business, I learned it the hard way. And how many people, Brett, I want to ask you this because you train them. Have you had anybody come to class that came to class because they were already a victim and they don't want to be a victim again?
Oh, so many, so many. I can't even count all of them. Particularly in the all-women's class, we get a lot of women, there's only women there, and so they really open up about experiences they've had. And I would venture to say that a very small fraction of women who have been victims report these crimes. Most of them keep them to themselves. In lots of ways, I think many of the women feel like they've in some way, caused these things to happen, or that they feel, guilty or badly about it, when they've absolutely had nothing to do with the situation at all.
Is this one of those syndromes where I shouldn't have been there, it was too late,
exactly.
I shouldn't have been wearing that, I'm guilty of this, I led him on, one of these type deals?
Yeah, I should have made better choices if a former boyfriend is stalking them, if they've had to get a restraining order, any number of things, the peeping Tom, the guy who won't take no for an answer, all those kinds of things. As women, we oftentimes tend to blame ourselves and feel like we're in some way, responsible for that when we're actually not in any way, shape, or form. And, as Scott said, I think that these bad guys, they choose their victims, and they look for weaknesses. And if they find a weakness, they will jump right in. You know, we try to empower women by letting them know that there are very simple things that you can do to avoid becoming a victim in the first place. You know, just make good choices. If you feel like something's wrong, then stay away from it. If you need help, then get help right away. Don't wait. Don't let things get to the point where they're completely out of hand. And, you know, there's an example that I give in the book about a woman who found herself in that kind of situation. You know, it's really tragic, and there are some simple things that one can do to avoid these.
The bottom line is to be awake, be aware, don't be paranoid. Wake up, pay attention, look at what's going on around you, pay attention to your surroundings, know who's around you. Look around you. You have a backside, your right side, your left side. Look north, look south. Be careful. Just be aware. You guys can stay with us for the next hour, correct?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Great. Super. Love to have you back. Ladies and gentlemen, the book is a great one. The Art of Modern Gunfighting, The Pistol, Volume 1 by Scott Reitz and Brett McQueen. When we come back, we will continue our discussion of the book, and we'll talk about the aftermath. What happens when you need to pull the trigger? Or you've pulled the trigger, now what can you expect? This is the Armed American Radio Network.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby, like a dark king. Jealous me by the
hammer now, baby. Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.
Hi, Lisa. This is Georgia. Do you know of any good Christian computer games I can buy Molly for Christmas?
Yes, my Jimmy just loves his Charlie Church Mouse computer game with animated Bible stories. He's having a blast learning about sizes, shapes, colors, math, spelling, and more. It's great for kids ages 2 through 8. Go to inspiredgames.com and use their store locator.
Did you say inspiredgames.com?
Yes, Charlie Church Mouse is at inspiredgames.com.
LB games are available at participating Walmart stores. Available to Family, Lifeway, Mardell, and Berean Christian stores, too.
Good, clean, fun.
For the office.
You've already ordered a new chair.
Well, I'm optimistic.
I hope it's a big, high back leather chair.
It's a power chair. Oh, now I'm gonna have. I'm gonna. Have